Dungeons & Dragons turns 50 this year, and the company that owns it, Hasbro, plans to make it even bigger. Now, for those of us of a certain vintage, we know Hasbro through toys like Mr. Potato Head, Candyland, that board game, and me personally, the Raggedy Andy doll many, many, many years ago. But Hasbro also makes Transformers, Nerf, My Little Pony, and it is pivoting now to focus on digital money makers like the D&D video game adaptation Baldur's Gate 3.
The future of Baldur's Gate hangs in the balance. Will you be the hero and save it from looming darkness? Or will the city crumble under your influence?
And Hasbro's recent phone-based game, Monopoly Go, also made a whopping $2 billion. We're joined now by Hasbro's CEO, Chris Cox, to talk about the future. Chris, welcome to Here and Now.
Scott, hey, thanks for having me.
Many of us have heard of Dungeons & Dragons, but don't play it. So for the rest of us, do you have a quick anecdote to help us understand why it has endured for 50 years now?
Well, I think it's really the power of the human imagination and the timeless urge to tell stories around a campfire. In this case, our campfire is a table. D&D connects these two very powerful kind of human needs and human drives in a really fun, loose set of rules that allows you to be silly with your friends and family.
Yeah. Well, there is a digital game version of D&D, Baldur's Gate 3. We just heard a little audio of that. It was a huge hit last year. And yet last year, right around Christmas, Hasbro, the company, laid off about one-fifth of its workers, about 1,000 jobs, including some employees who make Dungeons & Dragons. Why did the company choose to do that?
Well, we've been going through a turnaround for the last couple of years, particularly in our toy business, you know, making these tough trade-offs around how we preserve our cost base, drive our growth, and think about where we want to go in the future of the company. They're always hard, especially when they affect people we work with, who are friends and colleagues and loyal to the company. You know, we had to make the tough decision to let some people go at the end of last year. That overwhelmingly affected our toy business. It did have a smaller impact on our games business, but that was for, you know, different reasons. Mm-hmm. And we think it's going to be a major grower for us in the future.
As you know, Mr. Cox, you know, some fans have noticed and been critical of the company decisions. The same year there were these significant layoffs. You yourself got a raise that same year. And I want to play some audio from Vincent Chandler. He's a fan of the product and a YouTuber.
I'm seeing people, good people, losing their jobs whilst a CEO takes home millions and millions of dollars.
What do you say to fans who feel disconnected from the corporation?
It's always hard. You know, we try very, very hard to satisfy our fans. You're always going to have different pockets of people who want different things from the games. But at the end of the day, you know, we ultimately have to make some trade-offs. And usually the trade-off that we make most frequently is around expanding the game and expanding its appeal to new and newer and newer audiences. It's just the nature of dealing with large businesses and large fan bases.
I want to ask about a little bit more about D&D fans. My brother's one of them, you know, played for 4 decades or so. A number of fans said they were outraged when a leaked corporate document came out that would have taken from them some royalty money from individual creators who make content of their own for the game, say a new monster or a new world in D&D. Hasbro walked back the plan. For the lifelong fans who are critical, how do you make sure to win them back? These are loyal fans.
Yeah, like I said, we take a very big tent approach to how we manage the brands and how we think about our fandom. If you look at Magic the Gathering, if you look at Dungeons and Dragons, if you look at our board games, more people are playing these games than ever before.
So it sounds like you are satisfied with your relationship with most customers. As far as you can tell, the relationship's a solid one.
Yeah, I mean, like if you look at like the net satisfaction or any kind of like loyalty or satisfaction ratings, they generally are up and to the right. Now, we make mistakes. We have made some decisions that we've had in some cases quickly walk back. And I think it's a strength of the game that we're as connected to our community as we are. Mm. You know, D&D, You know, it's one of the most open game licenses in the history of gaming. It's got a vibrant creator community that we value a great deal. We continue to work with those creators. We continue to work with those small publishers. We continue to work with those streamers to make the game as big as possible and as great of a hobby as well as a living for people who kind of create around it as we possibly can.
Hmm. Hasbro, I guess speaking of relationships, has its hardcore players who've played, say, D&D for a long time. But the gaming business is also pulling in more casual players who download a game on their phones, which brings us to an app called Monopoly Go. Let's take a listen to an ad.
Have you heard of Monopoly Go? It's Monopoly, but it goes, like, everywhere. Watch. You roll two fives. I'll take it. You roll, and then you're rolling it in. Easy peasy.
It has made $2 billion in revenue in 10 months. Who is playing this, and what does it tell us about these phone-based games?
Well, Scopely is the partner we worked with to release Monopoly Go. They've been working on it for many years.
The developer of the game?
Yeah. You know, they spent a lot of time and put a lot of care into making a great game. That's going after adults 18 plus, but it's like so big that I think it's difficult to say that it has a very specific demographic. Mm. It mirrors Monopoly. You know, if you go into just about any household across the United States, they probably not just have one Monopoly game, but they probably have three or four Monopoly games that they've collected inside of their game closet. It's one of the most played board games in the world. And, you know, people really like the social nature of it, you know, the kind of the mischievous nature of it. And I think Scopely did a really good job capturing that. And, you know, as a result, they've driven a really large fan base that's really loyal and really loving the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hasbro has another pillar tentpole product, hugely popular, the popular card game Magic the Gathering. It's Hasbro's first billion-dollar brand. And the company's seeking to steer it toward more casual players by printing and putting out more cards for people to play. But Bank of America recently downgraded company stock in response, saying Hasbro was, quote, killing the golden goose, flooding the market. Is that a potential trade-off here? You want to reach more people, but if you have too much product out there, then each card becomes less valuable?
Well, I think it's also important to say a couple months after Bank of America gave us that rating, they actually raised us back up to a buy. So, you know, things change a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we've tripled the size of the game. We significantly expanded the overall player base. And we've done that by thinking expansively about who plays it or who could play it. You know, most video games, particularly most kind of more hardcore strategy games, they have maybe 10 or 15% of their player base that identify as non-male. For Magic, you know, it's more like 35% of players identify as non-male. For Dungeons & Dragons, it's closer to 45%. Mm. You know, we're very proud of the diversity and the focus on all players of all different stripes.
Yeah. Are you confident? Do the analytics, do the data indicate to you that you're still keeping your longtime loyal hardcore gamers? Because some of them, and this may just be a snapshot, but some of them say, you know, I'm not sure how loyal I am to the parent company.
Yeah, like I said, more people are playing our games than ever before. They're playing them longer and are more satisfied by the games than they've ever been before. You know, I've been playing D&D since 1983. I've been playing Magic the Gathering since 1995 when I was a junior in college. We don't think about this as just like kind of a short-term kind of sugar high. Mm-hmm. We think about this as stewards of the brands who come to it not just as business people or designers, but as fans of these brands. And we want to pass the torch to new generations of fans even brighter than what we found it. And I think that's not just something that, you know, I talk about, but I think it's common across all of our employees across our company.
That is Chris Cox, the CEO of Hasbro. Mr. Cox, thanks so much for the time.
Scott, thanks so much.